I'm Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matter. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. What distinguishes great leaders? Exceptional leaders capture passion. They lead for real, from the heart, smart and focused on the future, and with a commitment to being their very best. A new book, Resonant Leadership, by Annie McKee, Richard Boyatzis, and Francis Johnston, talks about the concept of leadership resonance. Through resonance, leaders become attuned to the needs and dreams of the people they lead. They create conditions where people can excel. Today we are joined by one of the authors of Resonant Leadership. Annie McKee is co-founder of the Telios Leadership Institute and teaches at the University of Pennsylvania Graduate School of Education. Welcome to the program, Annie.
Thanks, Dave. I'm really glad to be here.
What is a resonant leader?
We coined the phrase to try to capture the behaviors and the values and an approach to work that is really different than we've seen in the past. Resonant, emotionally intelligent, able to inspire through hope and vision and a belief that one's personal values can be tied to values at work and integrity matters. The ability to inspire trust in people so that they'll follow you even when things are tough and when the environment is challenging, as it is today in today's workplace and actually in the economy.
It's amazing how many assumptions you can make about this stuff just by glancing at the title of a book or a seminar title for us, for instance, at the AMA, and you hear a phrase like emotional intelligence or whatever, and the connotation is being soft, holding a person's hand, metaphorically, helping them through their tough time, and it's not about being a strong leader per se.
Exactly.
What are some of the misconceptions about being a more emotionally aware leader?
There are a lot of misconceptions about being emotionally aware or emotionally intelligent. Some people think that being emotionally intelligent means that you're nice all the time. Well, that is absolutely categorically not true. Emotional intelligence is the capacity to recognize your own emotions and their impact on your behavior, to manage your own emotions, to understand how to drive yourself toward a goal, for example, to be trustworthy and transparent, to engage people through understanding their needs. We call it empathy, social awareness, and to manage relationships.
You write that one of the traits that defines a great leader is owning your personal power. What do you mean by personal power?
In our culture and a lot of cultures around the world, people hold power to be something that is a little bit frightening. You really shouldn't claim that you have it because if nothing else, it's sort of in bad form. But the reality is, as a leader, you do have power and you have more power than a lot of people around you. So number one is recognizing that you have it and understanding the impact of that power on yourself, first of all. I've seen so many leaders who do not recognize the fact that their personal power impacts how they behave, impacts how they show up, impacts how they should show up. It also doesn't necessarily translate into their understanding of how that power impacts the people around them. Let me give you a quick example. One leader that I know has the potential to be a great leader. He's not there yet. He has a very senior position in an organization. The Achilles heel that this person has got to overcome is the recognition that he is indeed in a powerful position. And as long as he continues to feel like he's on the bottom, he will show up as if he's on the bottom, and people will not respond to him and follow him the way they need to, even given the situation that he's in now.
One of the myths about leadership that you point out is the myth that mood doesn't matter at all. In fact, research shows that a leader's mood can influence the mood of everyone around them. How do resonant leaders deal with their own negative emotions?
First of all, emotions are contagious. Even as we're sitting here, we're probably exchanging emotional information, actually catching one another's moods. It happens when any two people or any 10 people get together in a room. If you think about it, you might walk into a room, maybe you're late for a meeting or something like that. Nobody's saying a word, but maybe the hairs on your arm stand up. You know there's tension in that room. You can feel it. That's emotional contagion. Our limbic systems are open, and we actually mirror the emotions of the people around us. It's particularly true for the relationship between leaders and followers. Why is that? We're mammals. We look to our leaders to try to predict what they're going to do, how they're going to impact us, and where they're going to take us, because they have some control over our lives. If we sense that our leader is negative or anxious or fearful or pissed off or afraid, then we go into defensive posture. So your question, what do leaders do about their own negative feelings? Because we all have them. You don't wake up sunny and sort of Pollyanna every day. And if you do, you're not going to be a very good leader. First of all, really good leaders know themselves well. They understand what's going on inside them. If they're feeling a little upset or irritated or they had a bad morning, they know where those feelings are coming from and they don't displace them onto their subordinates. They understand what's triggering them, both positive and negative, and they use those emotions to the extent that they can to bring about a more resonant, positive, hopeful environment.
I just want a little bit more clarification on that. They use their negative emotions?
Emotional intelligence and resonant leadership is not always about being nice. It's about understanding how to use emotions, one's own and others, to drive people toward a collective goal, to engage people in reaching for a vision. It's not wrong to be angry. Mm-hmm. Aristotle said it better than I ever could, and I won't even try to quote it right here, but it's not wrong to be angry. The trick is to be angry in the right way with the right person at the right time to the right end.
So that the message is understood.
Exactly.
I think the big problem with negative emotions and anger or just whatever, the way it might come across, is the confusion associated with it.
Exactly. People make up stories when they don't know what's going on. In the absence of information. One other thing about negative emotions, yes, you understand where they're coming from. You manage them to the extent that you can. In other words, you direct them in the right way. But there is this other side of it. As a leader, you have the responsibility for understanding that your whisper is a shout. Your slight feeling of this isn't going well, I'm not happy with this outcome, is often taken as a shout in cry and anger. So what we need to do as leaders is to understand we're going to have a much stronger impact on our followers than we will on our peers necessarily, and we have to monitor that. We have to be careful with our emotions as well.
Be careful with your power.
Exactly, Dave, exactly.
One of the qualities you say resonant leaders possess is mindfulness. Tell us what you mean by that. What can leaders do to cultivate the quality of mindfulness?
The word is an interesting word. It comes from cognitive psychology and frankly also from Buddhism and from some other traditions around the world.
We're looking east yet again.
We're looking east yet again. Although not entirely, because it is a concept that is studied extensively in cognitive psychology. What we mean when we talk about mindfulness is the capacity to be fully aware of oneself in the context of one's relationships and one's environment, and also able to empathize and truly understand the people and the groups and the organizations and systems around you. Mindfulness is a practice. It's a way of being, and it doesn't happen by accident. What we encourage the people that we work with to do is to find ways to incorporate reflective practices into their daily life. Now, immediately you might say, well, not everybody's going to go meditate or whatever. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about 5 minutes in the morning when you take a few deep breaths before you get out of the car, or 10 minutes before you sit down for lunch with colleagues. You go off by yourself for a few minutes, looking at your calendar for the next month and recognizing you do not have one free minute for the next 30 days. That's not going to work. You've got to make some changes. 10, 15, 20 minutes of reflection on a daily basis will cause you to slow down, be able to open up, and frankly, to function better.
Can't argue with that. Right now, there are a lot of worries about layoffs and possible recession. What do you think leaders should be doing to keep their employees focused and motivated?
Even the best economists will tell you that the market is responds to emotion. It responds to positive emotion and it responds to negative emotion. If we really want to see a change in our marketplace, then we need to be hopeful. We need to be looking forward to a more positive future, to tomorrow that's better than today. What can leaders do? People are wired for hope. Give people a little tiny vision of a better future, and they will open their eyes, they will become energized, they'll become excited, and they will start to move toward that future. We don't want to paint a picture of an unrealistic future. That's crazy. Times are challenging, it's true. But we do want to look toward the future with optimism, with a belief that it can be better than it is today. This is part of the reason that we're starting to see some change around our country, in fact. There is a message of hope, and it's powerful and it's inspiring and it gets people moving.
The name of the book is Becoming a Resonant Leader, and one of the authors, Annie McKee, thank you very much for your time with us today.
Thank you, Dave.
And now, it's time for You've Been Spotted, the part of the program where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our 5 executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website, www.amanet.org. Here's Kevin Lee.
I'm visiting AMA Seminar, Successfully Managing People.
I am a chef at one of the larger hotels in Midtown Manhattan. In New York, we have a lot of unions. I work in a union house, and I deal with a lot of union employees. They are dealt with in a different way than typical employees. So this course has helped me see a lot of new ways to kind of approach the same old problems. The most useful thing would be that I'm in a room full of other managers that, while they're not in my profession, still share the same needs and responsibilities that I do. So it's a nice moment away from work. You can sit down and speak with other people intellectually about the same problems.
I work at a hedge fund, and I'm the vice president of operations. It can definitely be a stressful and challenging environment. One of the main challenges for me has been learning how to manage people from different cultures and different generations, some of the differences that come up, taking direction from me, who is someone that has differences from them.
Hi, I'm Denise Downs, and I'm the course leader for Successfully Managing People. In the beginning, we asked the students what their expectations were for the class, and many indicated motivation and delegation. And indeed, those 2 modules of the class have engendered very rich discussion. Also, emotional intelligence is incredibly useful for many of the students here who are just unaware of that side of managerial skills.
My aha moment would be learning that everyone is coming from a different place with different values, really trying to listen to people better and also understand what their values are and what's motivating them.
The very useful tool was the DISC system for the personalities. I'm a definite I, and that means that I am an extrovert and I do things through people, and I like to be social and I like to be with people all the time. I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned a lot about other people, the styles, the personalities, and how to deal with that and how to match me with other people. It definitely is an eye-opener for me.
Just remember, we really need your feedback. So please drop us an email at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That number again is 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.